It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Austin, and we could turn that TV on for me right there in front of me. Welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit more today about what's coming up this weekend here on streaming-wise. This weekend, there is a lot of stuff going on this weekend, and I think probably what we need to probably start off with is an article that we found that doesn't shed very good light, possibly on the future of the action track. Terre Haute could be in danger. Austin, when we read this week, or last night, I should say, this doesn't sound very good, really, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's just not what I expected, you know.
Right.
When we saw, or when we came into this year and saw that, you know, Bernie and Ronk were going to come and promote and take over and make Terre Haute what it was, you know, years ago. You know, bring Terre Haute back, and you know, I think they did that. And at
I
the
think
start
we were
of the
all
season,
pretty optimistic about that.
Yeah,
too, weren't
and,
we?
We all were,
yeah.
And you know, in the first couple of races, it showed that you know we could those standards could be met, and we could be at those expectations again. And you know, I'm not sure, you know, who's at fault here, and we'll get into the article more. But yeah, it's just you go from high hopes to no hope right now.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen. That would be one of the greatest losses in all of motorsports if we lost the action track Terre Haute, wouldn't it?
It would be a huge loss, and you know the action track and Terre Haute or same thing. It has been a staple in USAC's history from the beginning, really. Everybody's raced there, and it as from a driver standpoint to say you've won a race there or say you can even compete there is for a lot of guys, you know, a bucket list item. And to see that place go away, I mean, it has so much history and some of the events that are there, like the Tony Holman Classic, and they still do have the Sumar Classic for the Silver Crown cars, right. And, I mean, they used to have the Hutt 100 there. I mean, it's the who's who and the biggest events in open-wheel racing have been there. And if that goes away, I mean, What's that say for the rest of Indiana racing or USAC?
Yeah, no doubt. This is a great article by Joe Buckles. The future of the action track could be in danger. And this is in the Tribune Star, I should say. And it's a great read. It kind of gives you a little bit of insight. They spent $250,000 on that wall to redo that wall, take that concrete wall out and put the guardrail up around there. That was needed for a long time, wasn't it, Austin?
Well, it wasn't just the wall that they made upgrades on. I'm not sure on everything that they made upgrades on, but it was, you know, facility all around, you know, infield stuff, pit side, and, right. You know, entertainment or concessions and entertainment stuff in the midway in the stands too.
It says in this article the biggest change was the removal of the controversial concrete walls that surrounded the half mile dirt oval. So we know some people have been hurt on those walls. So the concrete walls are never good. And I think the way they did the guardrail, kind of like Knoxville and other racetracks that we've seen, I think that was a good play on their part, don't you think?
Yeah, it's something that track needed for a long time. And, you know, we saw it, was it last year, the year before, you know, Brady, you know, I think he jumped a right rear and flipped and was really lucky that he landed on top of the wall at the front end of the car and, you know, propelled him outside the track and into the parking lot. But, I mean, I've heard stories, and we all remember what happened to Shane Meal years ago with the concrete wall. And, yeah, I always remember a story that Justin Grant told, and you know, he first ever race at Terre Haute back in, like, you know, 2010, 2011, when he just moved back, you know, first moved to the Midwest, and track was really juiced up, and he thought he could haul her down in there wide open and outdrive, you know, Levi Jones, and, well, that did not happen, and he biked it and started, you know, kind of flipping out towards the wall, and when he hit the wall, it was, I think he was still wide open, and he hit the wall with, like, the rear tires, mm-hmm. and it knocked the motor out of it, broke the motor plate, and hung the throttle wide open when he hit it. No, he hung the throttle wide open when he was flipping, then he hit the wall with the rear tires, and it launched him outside the track, and he landed on two parked cars in the parking lot. So, imagine if somebody standing there. Not good. But, yeah, that wall was definitely something needed, and we've seen, you know, more tracks, you know, kind of around this area do the big guardrails. Knoxville, I-70, Jackson.
Right.
Now at Terre Haute, and it's just, it's shown that, you know, it's a lot better than having just a concrete wall and a ton of catch fins.
Right. It says in this article, it didn't take long for the two working relationship between the two parties to break down, reaching a low point at a June night race when law enforcement was called in to settle a dispute between the two groups. Now, if you're promoting an event and you have a breakdown between the two parties and you have to call in the law enforcement to help you settle this dispute, that's never good, right?
No, not at all. And that's just, it's just an unfortunate, I guess, circumstances for that to take place. It's just, I don't know who, it doesn't say, you know, who started it or what the situation was, but, you know, something
it's vague.
It's very vague, and
yeah.
I don't know. It's with them not really giving us a whole lot of information, it's hard to really, you know, point fingers and say anything besides just, this is not what that track needs.
Right. It also says in this article, Fair Board member and race committee chairman John Fitzpatrick acknowledged the issues facing the two groups earlier this week, but he was hopeful that the differences could be resolved, ensuring the future of the nationally recognized racing facility. He also said, I was hopeful both sides could resolve their differences and will continue to have racing at the track. It means so much to the community and racing. Scott and his group have done so much to make things better, Fitzpatrick said. So they've spent a lot of money. They've done a lot of work. And we know that Robert Ballew was over there doing a lot of the work himself, right? We heard Robert say that himself, that he was over there helping put in that wall, right?
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong on this. This is an issue between Ronk, Stugeon, and USAC, right? Because if the Fair Board's saying that,
it's so vague, it's hard to really read in between the lines. You know, you don't want to point fingers at one person more than the other, right? Because this article is kind of it's kind of vague in what actually is transpiring behind the scenes.
Right. I mean, good article from him,
yeah,
or from Joe, and it's good that he's kind of the only person that's opening up, you know, any or shedding any light on the situation, but you gotta give us a little more information, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to understand exactly what's going on, but, you know, I just hope that Scott has a chance to continue promoting that facility, and I hope they don't take it away from him, because, listen, man, Scott Ronk has done so much to help that facility. We just would hate to see anything. We'd just hate to see that racetrack go to the wasteland. That would be just a huge, huge loss. And let's just hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I kind of scrolled down on this article here, and it, you know, at the beginning, it sounds like, you know, it was a dispute between, like, USAC and the promoters, and now you scroll down to the bottom and it says the inner workings of the Fair Board are not privy to the public, but it is said there's as many board members who would like to see racing disappear as those who want to see it continue. Well, one side supposedly says the fairgrounds loses money each time a race card, or they should be corrected. Race, car race,
right.
Or race is run, while the other side claims racing is the only consistent money maker for the place.
So there's a little bit of uncertainty there between the fair board members. Some people are saying it's losing money. Some people are saying it's making money, right?
Yeah, and that shifts the article to that it's an issue between, you know, like I said, the fair board members and Ronk and Bernie.
Yeah. Well, that would be a major loss, again, if we were to lose the action track there at Terre Haute. Hopefully that will not be the case, and we'll be able to get it back together and see a lot of great racing action over there at the action track Terre Haute here. Let's hope that that racetrack doesn't go away. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on this weekend, Austin, don't we? We got USMTS Fall Jamboree at Deer Creek this weekend. That's always a good race. I think Jake O'Neill won that race last year. He came out of the B main. He started 15th and won that race last year.
Yeah, Jake's always really good. Jake's really good anywhere he goes. And, you know, he's kind of, if I feel like if Jake can ever, you know, start up front and not have to drive for the field, he might just walk away and just stomp the field every night. And, you know, he's had issues this year with part failures and just mechanical issues and, you know, either in the heat races or in the feature, and it always kind of sidelines him to starting at the back of the field and making him work, you know, twice as hard as he should, you know, to get to the front. And, but for him to drive, you know, like last year from 15th to win the race, and, you know, the Fall Jamboree is arguably the biggest USMTS race of the year, and to drive, and you're going to bring all the heavy hitters there. I don't remember how many cars they had last year, but probably well over 50 or so.
Right.
You're going to drive by a lot of good cars, and to do that from starting that far back is a really big accomplishment, and you know, something that you're going to be, you know, really proud of when you walk out of there with that big check in your back pocket.
Yeah, no doubt. We want to give a shout out to our listeners that are tuning in with us today. We've got Tim. He's checking in from Iowa City. Got Tammy checking in from Pennsylvania. Got Marvin checking in from Miamisburg, Ohio. So we just want to thank everybody that's checking in from all around the country. Here on Mostly Motorsports, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. But is this race, and we're going to have Trenton Berry on from Racing Dirt here in just a few minutes, talking about what's going on up at Deer Creek this weekend. But is that the biggest race of the year, do you think? What is the biggest modified race of the year, Austin? Would you have a pulse on that?
You know, I'm not the probably the guy to ask that question. Trenton would be the one, but from, you know, I followed it for USMTS, you know, for a while, you know, a handful of years ago when we were, you know, involved in and modified and stock car racing. And, you know, I feel like that race, from what I remember, is the biggest race of the year. I'm not sure, you know, we have some new events kind of added in since that time, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's one that can kind of rival it. But I'm pretty sure that everybody looks forward to the Fall Jamboree. And that is the race, if you're a modified guy, that you want to win, maybe besides, like, you know, the King of America.
Right.
Or, you know, or some of those races kind of early in the season, you know, that pay, you know, really well. And I think if any race that pays, you know, over $10,000, I think $10,000 is their, you know, base pay. So 15 to 20 or on up is going to be probably the marquee races that you want, or the crown jewel races that you want to win on the USMTS Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good question. I got to feel like with USMTS that's got to be one of the biggest races of the year, though, myself. I would think it is. So we'll just have to see. We'll just talk to Trenton Berry here in a little bit. They also have, not only do they have the Fall Jamboree USMTS up there at Deer Creek this weekend, but they also have Mod Mania going on at Tri-City Speedway down in Pontoon Beach, Illinois. Easy for me to say. And they've got that going on tonight. And that's all on racingdirt.com, folks. Again, that's racingdirt.com. A lot going on this weekend. And tonight, the USAC James Dean Classic going on at Gas City at I-69 Speedway. That'll be a good race, won't it?
Yeah, Gas City is just, you know, one of the many tracks that we see in Indiana that always puts on good racing, really, no matter what's on the, what cars is on it. And, you know, Gas City, you know, it's, I think it's sat, I think it was shut down for maybe a year or two, a couple years ago. And I think they
I
have,
think it was.
And they have new owners that came in there. And it's been open for 2 or 3 years now. And I'm glad that to see that it's back. It's been one of those staples on the tour, and especially during Sprint Week, that everybody wants to go to. And, you know, this is, it's, I feel like it's a good track to get some laps at before you head out to Eldora, you know, tomorrow and Saturday. The sprint cars and won't race there until Saturday, but the midgets will race tonight, tomorrow night at Eldora, and against, again on Saturday at Eldora too. So, yeah, it's a good little place that you go down and get some good laps, make some money, and head out to Eldora for a good 2-day weekend.
I want to give a shout out to Chuck. He's checking in from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, as well. Lloyd Collins, he's checking in. He said Fountain City, Mississippi, Thunder might be bigger on car count than the Fall Jamboree. If not, it's close. I'm not even sure about that race down there in Mississippi. Are you? Have you ever heard of that Fountain City, Mississippi race? Mississippi Thunder?
Mississippi Thunder's in Wisconsin. Fountain City, Wisconsin.
He, I don't know. He just said Mississippi there, so I'm not sure. But anyway, long story short is it's going to be good. And really, is the biggest race of the weekend the Foreign Crown Nationals at Eldora this weekend? Is that the biggest race of the weekend, you think?
I would have to say so, just for – not that it's a sprint car race. It's just the amount of cars and the disciplines that you'll have there. I mean, look right at Friday is just kind of the prelim and the warm up into what we're going to see on Saturday. But Friday, you're going to see World of Outlaw sprint cars, USAC midgets. You're going to see the Silver Crown cars hot lap and qualify. And then Saturday, you're going to see a 50 lap crown feature, midgets, sprint cars, and also Circuit of Champion wing sprint cars. And you're gonna see drivers run 3, 4, 2 classes, and you know, watch them bounce from one car after one feature to the next one, and see who can do what Kyle Larson and Jack Hewitt did. You know, Larson did it, I think, about 10-11 years ago now. Hewitt did back in the 90s, and see if they can go out there and win, you know, all four races that night.
Yeah. Oh, well, Paul's checking in from Creek County. He's down there in his motorhome, hanging out at Creek County today, so we want to give a shout out. And Lloyd said, laugh out loud, I said Fountain City. Austin is correct. Austin's pretty sharp guy. Last year, Rico won the All-Star race. Chris Windham won the midget race. Logan Seavey won the Silver Crown race. Tyler Courtney won the non-wing race. What do you expect this year at the Four Crown?
It should be pretty good. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what guys, you know, announce that they're, how many different classes they're going to run. I'm not sure if, you know, I assume, you know, Sunshine's going to run, you know, probably a midget non-wing car in his wing car. He might find a Silver Crown ride. You know, Grant's going to do all three. I don't expect to see him in a wing car.
How many guys run all four? Do we have we figured that out yet?
There's guys that have done it in the past, but I don't know this year. I haven't seen any announcements on who's going to run all four. I don't know if I would have any idea of people I'd expect to run it this year. I know that Anthony Macri, I believe, is going to make a Silver Crown start in Shawn Michaels slash Chris Dyson's car. And so that should be interesting to see how Anthony's going to do in a Silver Crown car. I'm not sure how much nomming experience he has. And you hop into a Silver Crown car, and that's a 180 degree difference from probably anything else he's driven. So that should be a good weekend. And, you know, I think Justin Grant's will probably have the best shot at maybe winning all three. He's been really fast in the midget all year. He's been good in the sprint car. He's been really good in the Silver Crown car. I think he would have been a contender at DeCoin here at the beginning of the month if he doesn't get caught up in a wreck with Davey Ray on like lap 11 or 12.
Right. That's so funny. Brady Bacon might be the only guy to try to run all four. Would you think?
Yeah, cause I forgot that Brady does have a wing car now.
Yeah.
I'm used to not, you know, maybe last year, the year before, where he doesn't have his wing program together. And now that he has one and it's been really competitive, I think
Yeah.
I mean, if you can find a Silver Crown ride, I would expect to see maybe Brady run all four.
Yeah. Jerome's listening in from South Dakota. Jerome, we appreciate you checking in with the show here and letting us know where you're listening from. It's always good to know where people are listening from around the country here on Mostly Motorsports. We got a lot of people all over the country, and we are so blessed to have each and every one of you tune in to the show each and every day. Ricky, where are you at, buddy? Where is Racing Ricky live? Is he in Florida? I don't remember. It seems like he was in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway, a lot to watch this weekend, folks. A lot of great action. You got Dirt Vision. You got Flow. You got Racing Dirt. There's so much good stuff going on. It really makes it hard to figure out, oh, he's in and then we got Steve checking in from St. Charles, Missouri as well. It's really a hard decision, not for me, because I watch all of these TVs, and I have, you know, Dirt Vision on one, Flow on another. The only thing that I think that they need to do a little bit more of, if they need to make it to where sometimes when I log on, it bumps me off of my other TV. They haven't got that fixed yet. So, Ricky, he is in Northeast Texas. Ricky is. That's where you're from, Ricky. I appreciate that. Checking in. All right. And MWRA is going to be racing at Green Valley this weekend, right?
Oh, Valley. We'll leave it as that. We'll leave it at that.
Valley Speedway. Maybe the roughest track in the country. But when I say that, I'll say this about Valley Speedway. That racetrack produces some really good racing, though, doesn't it? The surface itself puts on really good races.
Oh, it's one of the few tracks that has a built-in curb.
Right.
And, I mean, it's... Finally, I think it's one of the few tracks that runs sheet metal that actually has a curb, and I don't think anybody really complains about. But no, it's very unique. That's I've never raced it, been down there once, and my buddy Riley Kreisel is one of his favorite tracks to go race at, and it's just you can watch really anything down there, and it'll put on a pretty good show.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Trent Berry from RaceAdirt.com is going to join us. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on up at Deer Creek this weekend, also what's happening with the Mod Mania at Tri-City Speedway in Pontoon Beach, Illinois. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And, man, we can't thank them enough for being on board with this show all year. This is our 180th episode. Austin, is that hard to believe that we've already done 180 episodes so far this year? That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, because it doesn't feel like, I mean, it's almost the 1st of October, and, you know, we started back in January. I don't feel...
Doesn't feel like 180.
No,
though,
it feels
it?
Like maybe like 100 or so. But
yeah, yeah, no
it's
doubt.
Crazy how time flies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's bring in our guest today, Trenton Berry from RacingDirt.com, joins us on the broadcast today. And Trenton, how you doing, buddy?
Dude, I don't know that the average listener quite understands the workload of 180 shows in a year. The prep, the constant grind that, you know, for what it is, intense versus daily radio, what that looks like. That's I didn't realize it'd been 182, man. Shout out. That's impressive.
You know how many we're going to do for the year? We figured it up, Trenton. We are going to do 312 episodes this year between Mostly Motorsports Monday through Friday and Track Talk on Saturday mornings. Combined for the year, we're going to do 312 episodes this year. How about that?
Man, that's absolutely incredible. Kudos on that. So I'm serious. That is, dude, that's an insane grind.
There was a day when you used to do a show once a week, a Springfield show, and you covered Springfield racing on Racing Boys. And
yeah,
that was a long time ago, though, wasn't it, bud? How many years ago was that? Has that been over 10 years now?
15, probably.
15?
So here's what's crazy. In some of my free time, I've been doing a little more with that same radio station where I was before I came to Kansas City, too. So it's been kind of a wild full circle here the last little bit. been doing a little more terrestrial sports too. So anyway, I don't get off on a tangent, but I'm in the video business, and I've told a lot of people this, and of course you know this too. I mean, I'm obviously live and breathe the video business, but my ace in the hole, a number one favorite, has always been radio.
Yeah, no doubt,
and always will be.
Yeah, you were.
I love the unscripted format.
You know, that's what we do here, Trenton. We really, when Austin and I, before we go on the air, we never talk about what we're going to talk about, really, that
yep.
much, right?
And you shouldn't.
You shouldn't, because you want to keep it fresh, right? And yep. we are, listen, be honest with you, we are so blessed to have the listeners. We've got people today listening from Iowa City, Pennsylvania, Miamisburg, Ohio. We've got people all over the country listening to the show today, from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Mississippi. We just got people everywhere listening to the show, and we are so blessed to have those people. You know, it's so funny that we have this great listening audience from the East Coast, and we didn't spend that much time out there with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. We'd go out there, and we'd go to Williams Grove, and we'd go to Sealings Grove, and then we'd come back home. But the majority of our listeners are from Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. It's just crazy how many people listen to us out on the East Coast.
It really is. It's nuts. You know, too, it's like, you know, so we get there's a small contingent in the USMTS world, Scott, and it's just crazy. And I've talked to a few of these people. There's a group of fans from New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
The USMTS hasn't sniffed New Jersey, like not even close, not anything that borders it, not even anything remotely in the region or the region that borders that region, right? Like that's how far away it is. And for those folks, it was the original Dirt Nights that did it for them, and it hooked on a group of these people, and they've been, you know, some of these multi-day races, some of these folks have been out a few different years, and I see on our back end of our website, we get a decent little viewership from the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that is the most random, weirdest thing. You know, I never had on our live events, I never had New Jersey on my bingo card.
yeah, no doubt.
You know?
Yeah. We've been really blessed here with the show, and it's more of a national show than it is anything, because we just talk about everything that's going on around the nation. Let me ask you this,
sure.
Trenton. We were talking about this a little bit. Is the Fall Jamboree up at Deer Creek, is it the biggest USMTS race of the year?
Yeah, so it is. It is, and it has carries the most prestige. It is the A number one USMTS race that's on the calendar. No question about it. Yep.
Yep. What would be the second biggest race in USMTS? Could you name that?
Oh, I would say, probably the second one that everybody talks about. I mean, it's Grant Young Hands Memorial and the King of America. You know, it's one of those two. You know, they're so vastly different.
You know,
but one of those two, for sure.
Yeah.
So here's what's really weird though, right?
Yeah.
This race pays a bunch of money, and it's always paid a bunch of money, but it's always paid a bunch of money when the rest of the races didn't always pay as much money. And so now
right. These
purses are more in line, but you know, they talk about like they're booking multiple bands for this thing. And, you know, Deer Creek's got this campground that's on the facility that's part of the property and the Deer Creek operation. It's all owned by them, and they, you know, they sell that thing out for the year. But there's campers and overflow campers and more cars than you'll see there, and huge crowds and everything that goes into it. It's just got it has the history and carries the prestige, you know.
Yeah.
I think. It's number one on the schedule, and it's probably, I don't know that I can totally speak for all modified racing, but I think it's probably the number one or two, depending on how you view modified racing,
right.
biggest events you can win, you know?
Jake O'Neill had to win the first B feature last year, and he comes from 15th to win that deal. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I believe so. So here's what's crazy is we do this Mod Mania event over at the Gundakers in Granite City, which is an outstanding race. And for years and years, it was the week after the Jamboree. In the last few years, it's ran over the top of it. So I had went to St. Louis the past few years. I think it was the last three that I had missed, but Jake's won the last two. So I believe that that was the story that he came from out of that B main last year. Yeah.
Yeah, and Derek Ramirez, he finished second. He started 14th, so they kind of ran up through the field together, didn't they?
They do, and you know what? We see that at Deer Creek quite a bit, and you'll see that too with fields that are as big as they are this weekend. You know, not everybody, when you put that many cars together, not everybody can qualify great, and that's right. Just the honest way that it goes. You know, this isn't a deal where your top 12-point cars and, you know, six other local stragglers roll in to put your show on. There's heat from the top to the bottom, so it's impossible for everybody can't qualify well. So you know what, we've seen that a lot of fall jamborees over the years, guys put on an incredible charge up through the field. Yeah.
Is Dustin Sorensen the hottest driver right now in USMTS? Who would you point one finger at that you think is the hottest driver in USMTS right now?
Well, so for the past two or three years, you can never count out Jake O'Neill for more than the time it takes you to snap your fingers, you know.
Right.
He doesn't win every race, but he sure wins a lot of them, and he wins a lot of them going away and by big margins. I think, though, you're going to talk about guys that have put together the complete season. Yeah, Sorensen's done it. He's an amazing up-and-coming driver. And the one thing where he's really matured as a racer this year. He's settled in and taken those second and thirds, you know, whereas in the past he was always going for it. Right. And that's what you want out of a racer. You want a guy that's going to put it all on the line and put a show on, but
right.
You know, they set out with a clear goal to try to win this championship this year, paying $100,000 to win, which is just crazy and awesome all at the same time to
right.
me. I still, you know, 8-9 months in, I have a hard time processing that's actually what's taking place. But he's really matured as a driver and grown a lot this year. And he's got great equipment. His dad was a former USMTS racer and still helps and makes a lot of calls on that program. And they get to race as a family, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, Sorensen's he's a heck of a driver. He always was a heck of a driver.
Yep.
The thing is, he's grabbed everybody's attention this year because when it's not his night, and I've talked to enough racers, they know, right? Like, they know when it's their night and not their night. He doesn't go force it to make it his night when he might just need to run 2 through 5, mm-hmm. You know?
Do you think Jake O'Neill, the reason he is so good is because of his late model experience?
Dude, I have to think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to think so. He's running a car. Nobody else runs these LG2s in the series. We went through a period where there were a bunch of them. He's the only one left. He works on his stuff like crazy. He's got a huge list of contacts. He's just an animal, absolute animal. And wins and runs off. He runs off from people when he wins. I called him, I know you're not the biggest baseball fan, but I call him he's like a cleanup hitter in baseball, right? Like some nights it's not your night. So that, you know, sometimes that cleanup hitter strikes out, but when that cleanup hitter gets a hold of that baseball, that thing's going 450 feet. And Jake O'Neill races like he hits the baseball 450 feet
right.
a lot when he's out on the racetrack. And, you know, he'll lap up inside the top 10. He'll put half a track on second place. I mean, he's out. This rule package, this car, what he's doing, he is absolutely lethal. He's absolutely lethal behind the wheel.
Yeah. You've been watching any?
And I don't, you know what, sometimes you tell people say that somebody's lethal in a bad way. I mean that in the highest regard. I don't know what more glowing recommendation I could give him, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. It seems like there's a lot of guys running full-time with the USMTS this year. In my eyes, if I look at it, there's somewhere between 20 and 22 guys running full-time with the tour, because I see a lot of people that have run 32 races so far this year.
Yeah, money's where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it, bud?
100%.
Yeah.
It's 100% what it is. The money's where it needs to be to get those guys to go. And that's what it is. You know, the purses have went up in everything over the past couple, 3 years, and this series is no exception. You know, most races are 5, 7, or 10, and you want to race on Saturday night, it's $10,000 to win minimum to get the race book. So
yeah,
and that point fund's incredible this year, and a lot of that, not a lot of that. I don't say this the right way, but unfortunately, we lost Leon Ramirez before the season started, and Shane Sprinkle with S&S Fishing and Rental in his honor contributed a ton in Leon's honor to increase that point fund to make it $100,000 to win for this year and next year. Next year being USMTS 25th year in existence. So that was really special this year, and you know what, we're getting close to crowning that Leon Ramirez Series champion for the year, and it's unfortunate we lost Leon. He was a great friend to a lot of people, and a great friend to me personally too. It's cool with the series that he loved that we're able to do something in his honor, and I know he would be so proud to see all those racers that have made that effort to go after that this year.
Trenton, I know that you like to watch late models as well, and I don't mean to get off of the USMTFs.
No, yeah, no, I love late models. Speak correctly here.
Yeah, well, let me just say that we talk a lot of late model racing right here on this show, and
yeah,
the late model world is the most blessed form of racing right now in dirt track racing. Wouldn't you agree with the late model racing, the way it's paying all these races? Tim McCready, he just picked up $40,000. Superman, Jonathan Davenport, he's won nearly $2 million this year. It's crazy the amount of money that's in late models right now, isn't it?
No, there's no question. Late models are king right now in dirt track racing. Right. And I don't know that anybody ever envisioned a time that it was, because for a while that it wasn't. You know, they were second to open wheel racing, but they have firmly supplanted themselves as number one. Huge crowds, purses, interest, personalities. You know, that's one of the big things, right? I go deal with a ton of these promoters, Scott, and you know, they say, well, man, we need to, this more than a race, this is an event. We need to spice this up and let's figure something out. I said, well, a couple things. Is Tyler Erb signing in tonight?
Right.
Well, no, this is a USMTS race. I said, well, could we get Tyler Erb and maybe any of his rivals to sign in here tonight? Is that possible? No. Okay. Boy, you know, going down my quick list here. Yeah, so we don't have quite any of those personalities. So what is it exactly again you want me to do here? I'm not exactly sure. So that's a long way around telling you that they are also fortunate that they have, without question, the most diverse group of personalities that are not afraid, that do not mince words, and that are absolutely okay with you sticking a mic in their mouth really at about any moment.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when it comes to putting these races online, it doesn't matter if I go make 75 Facebook posts for a race. There is nothing that does more than some driver that gets the attention of the audience that you can go use to promote. It is the single biggest thing that you can do to go drive interest, is personalities.
It is. And you know, I've said this, and no disrespect to any of my friends over on the Lucas Oil ASES side of things, but the thing that they're lacking right now is star power a little bit. They need.
And I don't even know, like over the years, you know, we've been able to kind of cultivate some star power out of our ranks, but
right,
it's not that. It's that you have to that microphone has to be viewed as a tool to increase your brand, and the racers need to embrace that as their opportunity to let people know about them. And, you know, so here's what's crazy, Scott. I do these race day Q&As.
Yep.
With these racers. We've done them all season long. They're all on our Facebook page. They're anywhere from, I don't know, 15 minutes to a half hour, depending on what the day brings and, you know, how, if they need to go work on their race cars or if we got stuff we got to work on. Anyway, I sit down and carve out. We got a great crew that oversees the setup of this thing, and I don't have to do quite as much of that and don't have to be quite as involved, so I can focus a little more on some of this content. And what I will tell you is it is when you can take that racer away from their pit, away from where their crews and everybody else are looking at them, and you can go set them down for 15 minutes away from all that chaos that's in their world when they're at the racetrack, is night and day the difference in content that you can get it. And these segments for what we do have bared that out this year. You know, I've had guys that, dude, I couldn't stand at the back of their trailer and get 2 minutes out of them. I could literally ask them everything under the sun I can think of. Listen, I'm no different or better than anybody else. But like, I can go interview a race car driver. Like, that's not something that I don't struggle with that.
Right.
But I can go take them, and we can shift the environment and change the setting, and it's not real difficult to go get 20 minutes out of them. And I don't understand. I need more. Here's what I do struggle with. I need more of that 20 minute mentality when I got 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm struggling with how to do that, because a lot of these people have personality. It's sometimes hard to pull that out of them.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like pulling teeth sometimes with some of these drivers.
It is.
Yeah.
And then you get people like Turbo that are just naturals, you know?
Right.
Like I might only see Turbo 3 or 4 times a year, but dude, I can catch up and be up to speed immediately. And hey, you want to do a quick interview? And he'll give me something in 30 seconds. Like, dude, that's incredible.
Yeah. You know, it was so funny the other night at Kokomo, the night before, the first night, Tyler Erb, he ran second, Turbo did, and then the following night, he got lapped. It's crazy how the late model world works sometimes. There's so many guys over there I like to watch in the late model world. Mike Mahler is my favorite person because he never says no to us. He always comes on the show with us, always visits with us, and I just love Mike Mahler. Be honest with you.
I was telling the guys in the truck. It's funny you brought that up. I was telling the guys in the truck last night. We got up here to Minnesota late, and we're looking for where to go eat dinner. And I said, man, he's incredible, and not just a racer, but as a person.
Yeah.
And you know what I really enjoyed when I went out and worked that Wild West shootout for Rigsby and Kearns earlier this year.
Yeah.
And man, he was so good and gracious with his time, and like I knew Mike. And whatever, and I'd talked to him a bunch over the years, but not like 10 days like we had out there. And I'm not a fan of any racer. I don't care who wins, but I do appreciate the good guys. You know what I mean? And I don't think if anybody media tells you they don't, they're lying to you, because everybody appreciates the good guys. And he's one of those for sure.
Yeah, boy, you got a lot going on today. You've got UMP Modifieds running down there at Mod Mania at Tri-City Speedway in Pontoon Beach, Illinois. That is a UMP race, right?
Yep. And it's one of the biggest UMP races that exists. We've done that thing several years now. It's a fantastic race. You know, Kevin and Tammy, they added a bunch of money to the purses this year, and they're just twin 2500 to wins on Thursday and Friday, and that was a change for that. And so, yeah, I'm looking for big things there. That's one of the bigger modified races that exist anywhere in the country. And I love those UMP modified, Scott. I love them. They're different than what I get to see a lot of times. But that UMP racing from St. Louis to Central Illinois is just incredible.
Trent, let me ask you this.
Those guys put on a show.
Let me ask you this question, because we are so close to St. Louis. How come UMP hasn't migrated towards the western side of Missouri? How come that hasn't happened? Is there a push to keep them away, or why haven't we brought UMP into this area around the Kansas City area? How come?
Just tires, man. Tires and USRA's just here, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just what the program is. UMP is going to have its own set of headaches too. With there's nothing that's perfect, but man, it all just kind of falls in line. You know, most things are USRA or USRA type, and you know, Todd's put together a great program for the tracks and the racers and the rules package, and you know, around that area too. I don't think it's a lot different. I don't think it's a lot different than anywhere else, you know, as our home area is, but a lot of these racetracks don't want to make rules. And I think for a long time they did, and for a long time it was kind of a mess. And
yeah.
And so that uniform rule package is worth a lot. And you know, I always saw that USRA racing's on American Racers and dirt cars on Hoosier tires, and they're just different cars, different tires, different, it's just totally different program. Yeah, I tell you this, USRA is incredibly strong from Kansas City South and Kansas City North, with KC kind of being the central hub for the entire sanction. So it's a great program, and obviously that's not going to be any more on display than in a couple of weeks at the USRA Nationals. There's 230 some cars pre-entered, gunning for hopefully 400. You know, if things go right. So
yeah.
It's just USRA is just a great program. It really is. You know, and Todd's super approachable. The staff's all approachable. They're nice and respectful to people. And, you know, some of that UMP stuff, like you see some of that correspondence that gets put out from UMP to some of the racetracks. And it's like, oh my God, like people really are going to put up with this and be talked to like that.
Yeah.
And more, some of these promoters, they're not going to say it publicly, but I talk to them like they're embarrassed, you know,
right,
of what that is and what that image looks like. And it's just, you know, there's definitely a lot of professionalism, at least that's put forth publicly, and what is conveyed to tracks and racers is just not, it is just not becoming. And it's not, I can say there's stuff that's put out that if that was put out from somebody on my team, we'd be looking for new teammates, and we'd be looking for them immediately.
Right.
So I think that's a lot to do with it as well. So,
hey, what was your thoughts when you heard that old Earl Walls dropped the A-mods at Warrensburg? What did you think about that?
Oh, I mean, listen, that's a lot of what makes our business run. So you see the places kind of the king of the modifieds do it. You just kind of like, gosh dang, you know, but I don't fault anybody for doing what they can do to make their business run. I just hated it. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't want to say that like I hate it. Like I'm not mad about it or anything. But I just hated that that was where we were at. You know what I mean? I didn't think we'd see that day. So
yeah, I never thought we would see that day. I thought Earl would lose money as long as he had to.
There's no doubt that this is headed towards this modified and that this I don't even know. I'm in Minnesota, so I'll say that part of the country today, right?
Right?
Like our home area.
Yep, yep.
There are fewer and fewer racetracks, and then we started to see a lot of B mods have short fields this year too, at a lot of places, and that's not great. But racing overall wasn't as strong this year too. And if anybody tries to tell you that it was, they're telling you a lie, because it wasn't.
Yeah.
I've talked to a zillion promoters, and to a person, we're not setting records this year. We're just getting through. So it's a tough deal. You know, this, race is kind of in a vulnerable point right now, because the purses are incredibly high and people are getting conditioned to race for that. And if that ever has to back up, I'm scared a little bit for what that could look like on a large scale.
What do you think would be the number one thing that modified racing could do to draw people back in, Trenton? Because if there was anybody to ask this question to, it'd be Trenton Barry. How do we draw people back into modified racing a little bit? How do you do that?
So, I mean, if you're talking the USMTS, you don't have to draw them back in because
they're
there.
No doubt USMTS pays good, and it's a professional series, right? We know that.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is like on the weekly racing series at the weekly tracks, what do we got to do to pull them back in?
Man, we need more cars than are there, and when people go run other divisions and have an easy option to go run other divisions, then that 10th to 15th to 18th place weekly car is going to go find a lot more success running a B mod or a stock car.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. They just are, and there's no if we want to sit down and do a deep dive, I can go former mod B mod, former mod B mod, former mod B mod, former mod stock car, former mod B mod and stock car.
Right.
Okay, that guy had a real big budget to race on right there.
Yeah.
Former mod B mod, former mod stock car. Everybody wants to win. If people have a lot of options to go win, I don't blame them. I mean, they're great divisions to race, and they're good race cars. You ought to go, Scott, you ought to go look. The next USRA B-Mod race you get to, whether it's somewhere, you ought to just go crawl up underneath and look at one of those cars. You would be astonished at how much of a race car is underneath one of those B-Mods. You remember when those things were like slow tanks that were unregulated?
Yeah.
Everybody was cheating motors.
No doubt.
They were cheating them in Kansas City, and they were cheating them in Springfield.
Everywhere.
Were cheating them all around. Like,
right.
Some places ran spoilers. Like, all that stuff, all that posturing. And when that division was in its infancy, that stuff's all gone. You'd be floored at how good of a race car some of these top flight B mods are right now. We lose a lot of modifieds that want to go B mod racing.
Hmm. Yeah, no doubt. All right, Trenton, let's tell everybody how they can watch the Fall Jamboree tonight and the Mod Mania going on down at Tri-City. How would they go about doing that tonight? And give them a little rundown on what they could do at racingdirt.com.
Yeah, so we got a whole bunch of racing, just all sorts of stuff from the year. But we're gonna get started right around 6 o'clock tonight. I think qualifying's set to go on the track at 6:20 there. I'm not exactly sure on Granite City, but it'll be about the same time over there too. I got a great group of people working over there on that race with us this weekend too. We've already been in communication with today. So, and what's cool about both these races is there's payoffs each night. So one night's performance isn't indicative of the next, and that's my favorite format to race with. So, that's what we got going on tonight, and three, five, and 12 for the USMTS modifieds. It's all right there at Racing Dirt. And you can put the app on your phone. We're in both the app stores and several different, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple Play, or Apple TV, Apple Play. I'm making things up. Apple TV, all those different apps. We have apps on those as well, on those devices. So search those out. And, once you get signed in, it can be two clicks away from watching racing.
I know you're doing a lot of United Rebel Sprint Car Series, OCRS, ASCS. I know the National Tour is going through Race On Texas. I'm just going to say this, Trenton. It pains me to no end because, the 13 years I spent out on the National Tour, I never had downtime during the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour broadcast. There's so much dead air over there. It makes me want to blow my brains out, to be honest with you. Just so you know, I'm just passing that along to you. But I know you've been doing a lot of sprint car stuff. How's that going for you?
Yeah, so it's fun, and it's as you well know, some of them are better than others. And,
right.
We're just pushing along with it. It's been a fun endeavor though this year. I will say, on our side of things, those are not going to be events that we're going to be able to staff 4 to 6 people, like we can put on the road to put a crew together.
Yeah, no doubt.
So at some points they just kind of are where they are. And, it's been a great learning experience this year, and it's been very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish the best for everybody out there that's putting on streams, no matter who they are, who they're with, and what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, listen, folks.
How's that?
That was pretty good answer right there. Let me tell you, folks.
Am I ready to run for office?
Yeah, maybe. Are you planning on running for office?
Oh Lord, no.
Never. Don't get into politics, Bill. Don't get into that.
I'm just planning on the internet not dropping. That's about as far ahead as I can look.
That's right. That's all you need. Just make sure your internet stays up. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we got some new stuff we're working with on our side of things too. It's been life changing this year. So, holy smokes.
Let me just tell you,
we were behind the eight ball and we didn't even know.
Let me just tell you, I don't miss any of it.
Yeah.
I don't miss the stress at my age, at 62 years old. I don't miss the stress of being out there on the road, making sure everything works and all that kind of stuff. To me, I'd rather be right here working with Austin in this studio every day, doing what we're doing, 312 shows this year, and I'd rather be doing that and sleeping in my own bed than traveling up and down the road like a gypsy. Just so you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you.
But you're a young man. How old are you now, Trenton?
36.
36 years old.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fat and bald present.
Man, it seems like it was just. How old were you when you started working at Racing Boys? How old were you?
22.
That was a long time ago, bud. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, let me tell you, folks, Racing Dirt does a first-class broadcast. If you've never experienced their broadcast over there with USMTS or USRA or any of the other sprint car series that they're doing, they do a fantastic job. Get over there. Check them out. It's worth the investment. Do it because they're going to put on a great broadcast, and I'm sure tonight's Fall Jamboree up at Deer Creek is going to be exceptional. I know that you guys build a lot of packages and do a lot of different things. You guys do a great job over there, Trenton.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
All right, man. Hey, you and Austin have a good rest of your day there.
All right, buddy. Thank you. There you have it. Trenton Barry joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. What'd you think about that, Austin? Anything? You got anything out of that? Did you pull anything out of that?
That was interesting.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
It's finally, I mean, we can sit here and talk about, you know, what's wrong with or what's going on with, you know, modified racing. And it goes back to our discussion why UMP isn't here in Kansas City.
Right.
Nobody can give you a better answer than the guys that are involved with it day in and day out.
Yeah.
You know, sprint car guy over here can just looking from the outside, well, I series isn't here, I know, or it's the tire situation. But
our core fans don't really care much for modifieds, I don't think, do they?
That's not for me to say. That's for them to say.
All right.
You know, for like, you know, me trying to answer your question, I don't know. And finally to have, you know, Trenton's opinion, and he knows.
He's an expert.
He probably knows the reasons on pretty much everything. And,
yeah.
And to finally have that's good. And I just, you know, one thing that kind of crossed my mind when he was talking about, you know, that's the wrong button. You know, UMP is, how cool would it be to see a USMTS modified race hit the mile during the fair weekend, Springfield, Decoin, I don't know, don't care which one, or you can find another one in the country. There's not a lot left, and have a USMTS modified show on the mile.
Yeah. Tammy, she chimed in. She said, why can't they unify the rules for the rules between USRA, UMP, WSOTA, and IEMCA? That will never happen, will it? That will never happen. I don't think that would ever happen.
That's just, it's, if that wanted to happen, that needed to happen years and years ago, because now UMP and USRA are different. Same with, you know, with WSOTA and, you know, IEMCA, and, you know, you want to make them all one. And now you're going to cost, you know, drivers and all the series more money trying to get everything converted over. You know, it's going to be a combination of all of those. And there's things you're going to have to buy, change, or whatever it does. And to make that happen, it's just, if everybody wanted to work together, that would needed to happen when everything was being built
right?
Whenever the series came in and you know, started going again or started off.
Caleb said, I think he's right on too. Will we ever see a unified modified rules like the late models and 410 sprints are doing? I don't think we'll ever see that.
Well, that was the same question we just kind of talked about. And
yeah.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, there's guys that can take their, you know, USMTS modifieds and go run UMP races. It's just, now you're going to go from American Racers to Hoosier, and there's some, you know, internal things, you know, on the suspension that's different and all that. I know that's what Dad and you know, our team used to do when we go run the mile back in the late 2000s. And we took a, I guess at that time, a USRA IMC, I guess, or non-sanctioned car and made it go work. But, yeah, I don't see anybody working together. I think it's just if you're going to want to go do it, you know, have a car sitting there or have the budget to make that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete says we need a late model diecast for the set. We do need one, don't we? We need a late model because we talk a lot about late models here. So if there's a driver out there that's got a diecast that would like to send their diecast to us so we can put it on the set, we would love to have one. So just send me a message, and we'll get you the address right here at Racing Boys. All right. Austin, that was a pretty good show. I felt like that was some pretty insightful stuff with Trenton Barry right there. Again, folks, they do a great job. If you want to watch the Fall Jamboree tonight at Deer Creek, USMTS style, it's going to be a great broadcast. They do a good job for you. Plus, you'll be able to go over there and watch some of the Mod Media at Tri-City Speedway at Pontoon Beach, Illinois, with the UMP guys tonight as well. I also want to remind everybody, don't forget to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and check out the great track tribute they've got going on right now. It's going to be going on through October 1st. You don't have much more time, folks. You got to get up there if you're going to see it. You need to get up there right away because it is one of the greatest track tributes of all time. The great racetrack from Ascot Park in Gardena, California. It was a track that I used to go to back in the late 70s and the early 80s. Such a great racetrack. And they've got a great display going on up there right now. They've got videos, uniforms, helmets, all kinds of great stuff, and they got a bunch of great race cars up there, Jimmy Oskey's cars up there. They've just got all kinds of great, great cars and stuff from Ascot Park. And I'm telling you, it is as good as it gets up there. And don't forget, they're open 7 days a week, so if you want to make a weekend trip up to Knoxville, take off on a Saturday, drive up there. They're open on Sundays. They're only closed on major holidays. Get up there and check out this great track tribute to Ascot Park. Again, this racetrack was in Gardena, California. It's no longer there. It was such a great racetrack. Check it out. And while you're up there, buy you a sprint car raffle ticket as well. They got a complete 410 sprint car that they're going to be giving away on December 15th. Check it out. The car's up there. You can see it. Buy your raffle ticket. They're going to give you $25,000 to help you pay for the taxes on that as well. So it is a great deal. Get up there. Buy you a sprint car raffle ticket. And if you can't do it at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, just do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. Or you can give them a call up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum if you're not comfortable putting your information on a computer. I know some people are not. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in today. For my partner, Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Phone Friday right here on Mostly Motorsports, and it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
We One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.